off the bat to move in our midst. So I want you to say with me, welcome, Holy Spirit. You ready? Welcome, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you send your daughter up to me, Dave? The Lord put this on my mind just a second ago. I want her to pray for me. Will you do that, please?
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just bless him as he's preaching.
Lord,
and I pray that everything that he says, like, we'd receive it and that we'd open our hearts to what you have to say through him. I pray that the message would go well and that you would just bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I tell you, I generally have Linda do that for me before I preach. And I don't know, the Lord, as I sat down, the Lord really laid it on my heart to do it this way. And you know what? I was moved again by your hand being out here. You know something? I didn't say this in the first service, but expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. It is. It is the breeding ground of miracles. Is it a problem for the Lord to move that wall out or do whatever you got to do to expand your sanctuary? No. Is it impossible for God to arrange to have it all paid for?
Yes.
No, it's not impossible for him. God's ways are higher than our ways.
Yeah.
One of the things I never mentioned this morning, but I want to go there as we get ready to start. There's not a situation of any kind, including that, there's no situation in your personal life right now that can in any way be bigger than the God we serve. It's not possible. And I'm going to show you through the Bible as we go. I am excited about this morning. My struggle is going to be trying to stay somewhere on track with what we did this morning. Because I move a lot by what I feel the Holy Spirit is unctioning me to do right then. And oh, man. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can just be a fire? A fire. And years ago, several years ago, I didn't mention this morning either. Several years ago, Linda and I was at a conference, and I was praying in the Spirit. And I seen a prairie fire over in the northeast corner or the east side of South Dakota. We grew up on the west side. We grew up in Buffalo, South Dakota, over at Rapid City. I seen the prairie fire. When we come back in this church the second time, I seen the prairie fire here again. I believe that prairie fire is this church. How many of you know a prairie fire does not burn with a straight edge? It doesn't. It's got a little wing that goes out over here. One runs on this ridge. One goes over here. And that is how the ministry works as we go forth. You have a ministry going strong here, one here, as God begins to plant them in different places and that fire begins to burn. Oh, Holy Ghost, hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah! The word begins to spread. And it spreads through you. So the question is this morning, how are you and the Lord doing? See, it doesn't involve any of us that get, you might say, well, I don't like to go to that church because I don't like whatever. You know what? That's plain and simple an excuse. Because don't let that excuse get between you and God. The conversation has to be right here. I was telling them this morning that Linda and I went to minister to a couple that was on the verge of getting a divorce. And we got to their house and it was really angry. It was an angry spirit. And I began to minister to Lewis and he said, well, I don't know how you're going to explain this. And I said, explain what? He said, well, the pastor downtown, they raised all this money for this mission field. and he took off and run to Mexico and he spent it all. I said, well, what's that got to do with you and God? Somehow you put this whole project between you and God. What you need this morning has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the God that is above every situation there is. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I better get to the scriptures. I tell you, it's so easy for me to get off on bunny trails. I get going and then all of a sudden this thought leads to another one and another one. And so I'm going to try to keep us on a little bit on track this morning. And I tell you what, I really like Autumn and Jeff have been a blessing. And for most of you don't know why we're even here. But our paths crossed a long time ago. My little pastor that we have in Rapid City, Tel Sosserman, and his wife Ellie grew up in Midland, same place as Autumn did. And so when we went over to live at Codger's Cove at Pier in our motorhome, well, Pastor Tel says, you know what? They have a church downtown Pier called the River Church, River Center. So we went down there. Well, then we met Autumn's folks. Well, then we told them we were going to be moving over here. Well, you got to go see our kids. And so, I mean, it's just exciting how God has worked. And I'm really encouraged. God is doing some neat things. And it really is exciting to be here. This last year has been a hard year. I look back at it now and I see how God was with... Oh, by golly, I forgot. Hey, young man, would you do this song for me? I completely forgot. Huh? Oh, I will. Okay. Sing with us with the words to this song.
Footsteps walking with me, footsteps I cannot see, but every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. They walk with me all the way, beside me day by day, through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. I'll never walk in life alone. There'll always be someone there. I know he won't let me down. He's with me everywhere. The special things in life I've done have been through him and his love. I've been blessed in so many ways, thanks to the Lord of love. Footsteps walking with me, footsteps I cannot see, but every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. They walk with me all the way, beside me day by day, through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. I think that my life's been planned by the one who's guiding me. When I lay by the hand of someone I can't see, I'm not always sure where to go. That's when I follow his lead. I know that the pathway that he shows will help me to succeed. Everybody, footsteps walking with me, footsteps I cannot see, But every move I make and every step I take, I know they're there with me. And they walk with me all the way, beside me day by day. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, those footsteps won't go away. Through good and bad, through happy and sad, by my side they'll stay.
Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. I thought about that a lot this last year through some of the things. Thank you, Chad. Some of the things that we've been through. Yet I look back and I see how God was walking with us the whole time. He was there. He stayed there right alongside of us. And it's such a comfort to know that wherever you go, God's not going to leave you stranded. And a message this morning is going to be out of the book of Jonah. And, you know, most all of us know about that book. Probably you've not really studied necessarily the life of Jonah prior to this happening. But to understand Jonah and the hatred that he had in his heart toward Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, all comes about because of what they had done to his father. They had literally killed his father, but they stripped him. They literally skinned portions of his body. As putrid and horrible as that sounds, that's what brought about the incredible hatred. And so when we begin to look at this and look at the book of Jonah, then it begs a question for us. What is our Nineveh? What is the thing that bothers us, that is eating on us? Winter was touching on this a little bit, and I thought as she was up front praying that she was going to preach my whole message. Because really that's what it's about. What is it that is on us that is just does not seem to escape? Oh, we've prayed about it even. And it just, for some reason, it just keeps coming back on top of us and on top of us. And we look at the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." In other words, preach against it, "for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. I want you to notice right away the two words there that are going to stand out, and there are going to be more yet. He went down. When these things happen in our life, and there becomes, if you will, even a controversy between you and a friend or maybe a loved one, and it keeps building, the motion goes down. It'll continue to go down. And you'll see that in Jonah. Because it had not at that point been dealt with. The hatred was bigger than his love for God. Did you hear what I said? The hatred or the discord was bigger than God. And I said to begin with, as we start, we need to remember there's no situation that we can get into at all that is bigger than our God. After all, is he not the one that created all things? Is he not the one that created us? He is bigger than anything. So what is our Nineveh? So we go on from there. But the Lord sent out a great wind under the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. notice, called unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in their ship into the sea to lighten them. In other words, they must have been casting out some of their load that they were carrying to lighten the ship. But Jonah was gone down. He had gone down into the bottom of the ship, into the side of the ship, and lay and was fast asleep. One thing that I've learned over the years, and I'm just about 2 days older than dirt, so not quite. One thing I've learned, when heaviness comes upon us over something, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to go and lay down and go to sleep, because that's how some people, the only way they know to handle stress. They go and can absolutely lay down and go to sleep. The second way is they become workaholics. They absolutely cannot stop working. And those two are definite signs. If you're dealing with somebody that is carrying a heavy, heavy load, those are two signs that you can watch for. And so he was laying fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon the God, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his own fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know those who cause this evil upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. That doesn't surprise us, does it? That the lot fell upon Jonah. You know, the Holy Spirit is a tattletale. You know, many times I say to our altar workers, if you're working up at the altar and somebody comes up and needs prayer, but you don't know what they need prayer for. Okay, man, living. I'm going a different direction. You're standing here and here comes somebody up to you. You don't know what you're going to pray for yet. They've not told you nothing. But you go and you begin to pray. You lay your hand on their shoulder, or on their forehead, whatever one, whichever way. Just be sure you don't let anybody else touch them. Because if they do, you're going to begin to try to discern what's going on in the second person. But God, the Holy Spirit, will show you what's going on that you need to pray for. May not give you names, might, it don't matter. But he'll tell you right then and there what they need prayer for. Who knows? Maybe their tractors broke down. I can guarantee you God can show you that. The Holy Spirit is a tattletale. And I had said that at one of our Bible studies. And the man came to me afterwards and he said, "Brad," he said, "I sure wished you wouldn't use that word." I said, "What word?" He said, "Tattletale." He said, "You know, when I was growing up in school, tattletales were not thought of very well. You know, that's kind of like a gossiper." And so I've been kind of careful what I've said about that. But I want us to understand also now that when Jonah goes down into the ship, he goes down there out of disobedience. And disobedience has a cost to it. And the cost does not just involve Jonah or me. It involves a lot of other people around you. And so consequently, if we're not careful and we begin to slide on this down slope, we begin to go down. Am I causing you problems walking around? Am I okay? I don't know how to stand still. But as you go down this slope, those around you, if we're not careful, will begin to slide right with you. So we were sharing this morning that when you're praying for somebody that is in the midst of depression or in a bad place, we call it, a bad spot, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice unto God and pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord, church. Lift God up on high. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if I be lifted up. What did he say? If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. What is that saying? We must lift, we must glorify our God. We must lift him up, praise him. Oh, church, we need to glorify God. We need to lift. You cannot lift him up too high. It's not impossible. Just praise him. I was thinking this morning, the wonderful breakthroughs in life come when we begin to praise in the midst of our worst heartaches, our worst depression, our worst horrible spots, and we begin to pray. There's times in my life when I didn't know anything else to do but pray. The night Linda come out of surgery, her heart surgery, and she's laying in the room and there's hoses everywhere. Electric wires coming out of her side. And I said, Lord, you have to see us through this. So I went back to my room and I laid down. And I had struggled with why we had moved here. I mean, we moved here. Our daughter's got a nice home here, so we live with her. The Lord woke me up that night and he said, Brad, I moved you to Huron to save your wife's life. I had had her all over, including Rochester, and they could not find out what was wrong with her. Her heart was 100% blocked on one side and 95% blocked on the other side. But there she is. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I thank God. So the cost of disobedience can be far more reaching than any of us sometimes realize. Disobedience takes on an ugly look. We look at the life of Jonah, and we know that they cast lots and it fell on him, and he tells them finally, he says, well, you just as well throw me overboard because it's because of me that this mess is going on. Well, at that point in his life, if we read between the lines, we about have to think that Jonah is committing suicide. He's saying, well, it's all over with. You just well throw me overboard. I'll drown and it'll be all done with. The song we said says, footsteps walking with me. Or good or bad, through happy or sad, those footsteps are walking with me. Now that's talking about, hallelujah, that's talking about somebody that has given their life to Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that God won't touch the unsaved, because he will. Because he's got a plan for their life just as well. Oh, God doesn't just work just for Christians. It works for all people. But God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would have what? Exactly. Have life forever. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. Thank you, Jesus. I got too many thoughts going through my mind. Oh, Lordy. Thank you, Jesus. And then there were men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why dost thou do this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wrought and tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea will be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. That's obvious that they didn't. Well, there he is. Praise the Lord. It's obvious that they did not want to see him thrown overboard, isn't it? I mean, here's guys that worshiped another god, but all of a sudden they begin to realize that this god is a real god. This is a god that is able. It's the same god that is able for you this morning. Whatever it is this moment, whatever it is that could be your Nineveh, I'm telling you, God is there for you today. I shared this morning, my youngest son went to prison for drugs and a South Dakota prison. He was sentenced for 6 months to prison. He was there 2 weeks. The man that he worked for absolutely loved him and went to bat for him, got him out of prison. But through that, there was a hatred inside of me. The hatred was that I hated the man who was a businessman in Gillette because I knew that's where Shannon got the drugs. I knew that's how they got there. I went to the man. I confronted him at his desk. I said, I'm going to turn you in. He said, go ahead, which I did. But they never done a thing. I don't know. God finally dealt with me on that issue and I got free from it, so I don't know what's happened since. Our God is real. I had to get rid of that hatred because it was making me go down the slide. And through that then, I would begin to bring others right alongside of me down the slide. I realized I don't want anybody else going down that slippery slide. It's no fun. Hatred is not fun. Anger isn't fun. One of the books that Linda and I have gotten a hold of over the years is a book that was written by Pastor Ernie Gruen out of Kansas City called Cleansing Your Heart of Anger and Bitterness. Simple little book, but it is so profound. In the book of Matthew, Scripture says, if you will not forgive men their trespasses, I will not forgive you. Wow. Church, that becomes pretty personal, don't it? All of a sudden, it's right down at where J. Vernon McGee would say, the rubber meets the road. It meets right down here. But it needs to get there sometimes. And sometimes we need to go all the way to the bottom. Because for Jonah, he did. He went all the way to the bottom, down in the bottom of the whale. But God still had another plan. Footsteps walking with me. Footsteps I cannot see. Amen? God was still with him. And so what does he do? He causes the big whale come along, swallow him up for 3 days and three nights, throws him up onto the ground. But Jonah has still got his same job assigned to him. Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. I want you to go preach into that city. Well, what's that message for us? Message is this. What is it that you don't want to do? What is it that you've denied God and said, I'm not going to do that. I don't like that situation. I just can't imagine going there. Church, I've spent most of my life before the ministry in sales. So I know what a cold call is. I know what it's like to go to somebody's house and call on them. For a while I was selling Lindsay water softeners. So I know what that's about. But with the Lord, it's a different deal. When God tells you to go and talk to somebody, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's already been there. When you get there, all you become for the Lord is a confirmation. Really? God kind of spoke to my spirit today that something great was going to happen. The girls went out one night, one afternoon, house to house, Linda and some other ladies from the church, and they were just going around praying. They come to the door, knock on the door. Is there anything we can pray for you for? You know what? You ask people whether they're a born-again person or not, can I pray for you? You'll get a list of what you can pray for. It was awesome. It was awesome. But we look at Jonah and we realize that here again is a second chance. A second chance. Because God delivers him out of the whale, puts him up on the ground, gives him a second chance. Well, as we read scripture, I don't think Jonah was very, very grateful yet. Because he still hated them people. Absolutely. Hated those people. But he went and done what the Lord had said. I tell you, when you go and do what God tells you to do, there is a reward that is second to nothing you'll ever understand. I come home from come and met Linda at Perkins one night in Gillette. She was just coming home. She was the vice president of Norwest Bank at that time, and she was coming home from Casper. We met there. We had supper together, and was going up to the cashier to pay, and I told her, I said, I need to walk around this way. I just feel like the Lord said, go this way. Well, she went this way. I went around, and as I come around the corner, here sat a man at the table. God says, you stop right now. Tell him that I know what he's going through and that I love him. So I stopped. I said, sir, I said, yeah, I know you don't know me. But I said, God said, told me to stop and tell you that he loves you, that he's known what you're going through. Instantly, he starts crying. The next morning, he met us for breakfast. And I told him that during the night, I said, the enemy's going to come on you like a flood and tell you that what happened to you today was a joke. But you rebuke him and you come. Next morning, he gave his life to the Lord. I don't know what's happened with him since. We were coming down off the mountain, been up above Red Lodge on the Bear Tooth, came down, was having revival going on in Laurel that night. We're coming down, we get to the town of Joliet, and the Lord said, turn up Main Street. I thought, wow, we're running late. Why should I do that? But I turned up Main Street, went up to the other end, and I turned around. I said, well, where do you want me to stop or what do you want me to do? He said, keep going. I kept going a little further. He said, stop. He said, see that man sitting up there on the deck in the wheelchair? He said, go around there and tell him that I love him and that I'll save his life and that I know what he's going through. Was there a fear in my heart at that point? Not really. Because a boldness comes on you from the Holy Ghost that God sends for you to deliver that message. I walked up there and I told him. I'm sure he thought, whoa, what's this? Plumb crazy. And it does seem like craziness to us. But to God, he had a plan. That man absolutely wept. His kids had come against him that day over something. but God made things right. Listen, our God is a God of a second chance, a third chance, a 999 chances. He's there. I'm running out of time already. Hallelujah. But I don't want to leave without this. God loves all people. Do you? Or is that the Nineveh? God loves all people. Whew. I thought I did. This is an area God worked on me. I thought I did. But I realized one day that this was a Nineveh for me. I thought I loved anybody. Well, I did, unless they disagreed with me. Woo! I found out that all of a sudden, I must have had a pride issue. I didn't think I did, but I did. And God dealt with that issue for me. You know what? I realize that if I want to really realize the grace of God, I need to learn to be more humble. The more humble I am, the more God can do in me and through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm just asking you, how are you and the Lord doing? Is there anything that's gotten between you and the Lord? Anything? It doesn't have to be anything quite as big as Jonah, but maybe it is. Maybe it's God is sending you to another country. Oh, my Lord. Maybe he is. Maybe he's saying going wherever. My sister-in-law is ministering into the country she came from, was Burma. She's got some over 3,000 people that she ministers to every night. And she's doing it on the internet. She has a way that she can show them on the internet how to get to their underground church. She can show them how to get there. God is doing awesome things, church. What's your Nineveh? Or how are you and the Lord doing this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I have the leadership come, please? Thank you, Lord. I would like it to open up this morning. If you need prayer, if you have an enema that's been bothering you, I would invite you to come up and pray with the pastors, pray with any of them, that God would help you through that. Sometimes God doesn't automatically just wipe it away. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in and he sees you all the way through it. Sometimes it takes a little while. Listen, church, the UPS man, he delivered a package to the door. I picked it up and the side of it was caved in. I said, this is damaged. He said, but it's delivered. I said, well, it's delivered, but it's damaged. He said, yes, it's delivered. Listen, if you're a child in the Most High God, you're delivered, but you can still be damaged. You can still have things going on in your life that God wants to deal with. What's your Nineveh this morning? What is it in your life that God wants to deal with for you? Praise God. Glorify the Lord above.